Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today I'm excited about the opportunity to reiterate and to share with folks here today about the opportunity we have to be bearers of good fruit. And God, it's one of those things where if we stop and think about it, it's not just an automatic thing. It's a purposely intentional thing that's been done when seeds have been planted that we can anticipate a harvest. And I pray today, God, that through your word, we'll get a greater insight and wisdom as to how you want us to operate in this world. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. You know, oftentimes people would say to you, he says, don't judge me. You have no power to judge me. And I found the perfect answer for them. I'm not judging you. I'm just a fruit inspector. By their fruits you shall know them. So I got my card. I'm going to inspect it. And, you know, if I see something ain't worth nothing, a little bit of bad fruit. Here's the deal. How many of you know what is the most prominent, or shall I say, the most, identified fruit around the world? What would it be? Anybody know? You're wrong. Banana. 137 million pounds of bananas are consumed around the world. Per capita in the United States, some of you say, well, I don't like bananas. Well, somebody does, because per capita, 26 pounds per person per year. Here's another thing you didn't know. Banana is the only altered fruit in order to make the bananas like that we actually enjoy. Because you know, if you have a fruit, you got to have a seed, right? You see those little small, tiny little micro seeds in the midst of a banana, little dark looking things? It takes three types. It takes a male, female, and a neuter seed in order for a banana to be made. You say, what? So you are eating a fruit that really isn't natural. You say, wow. Stay with me. I got you now. So all these things, we thought all of us knew about this particular fruit. And for those of you who are calorie conscious or whatever, a medium-sized banana has 94 calories. It has no fat. It has no cholesterol. And it has, it has no sodium. How about that? Don't go out and eat bananas, but that's a bunch of them. But my point is, all of these things are about fruit, but it's one of those things that's kind of welcomed into our life, that it's healthy for us. But the thing that God wants us to do is produce fruit in the kingdom of God. Real quickly, here's three things we'll talk about. When was the last time you remembered fruit that was a result of the seed that you had sown in faith? Fruit in someone else's life. Or how about this? Does the thought of seeing results for which we have sown fruit bring you joy? I think it would for anyone to say, well, you know, I sowed that particular word or that in someone's life, and it resulted in righteousness coming in their life. Or lastly, do you know that even the things that you have sown in tears will be reap joy? Some of you have gone through some hard stuff and some tough stuff. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. But I want to tell you the result of that is there will be joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning as we realize we have been deputized to sow some things that will make a difference in people's lives. Well, in order to be fruitful, we must stay connected to the vine. Amen. In other words, if you're disconnected, there's no possibility that you can produce anything. And so and Jesus is saying, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Stay connected. And we're going to talk a lot about connectedness in this message, but we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, and we'll talk about this. Okay? But also for this very reason, given all diligence, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness. Moving on. Next few verses. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So in other words, just being saved isn't enough. You say, what? It says add to. If you have faith to say, Jesus, come into my life, you say, well, that's it. It's all over with. I'm done. I'll sit here and wait for Jesus. Rapture's coming any day. That's not it. There's some things that we add by faith to our life that will make a difference. And it says virtue and knowledge and self-control and desire to grow in your faith and in purity. It's the fact that we should desire to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. That is a byproduct of a healthy person who's attached to the vine of Jesus. Now, I would have to say to you, or to myself as well, if there's no desire in me to grow in Jesus, am I connected? Am I connected? Or am I just kind of just on life support? Artificial. Now, those of you in the medical field, please don't be too hard on me because I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that once they plug you in and they start the little things going, if somebody doesn't attend to it, if somebody misses a cue, you're a goner. And they've got these little alarms that go off and there's this bells and whistles and this type of things going on. But I'll tell you what, there's only so much they can do. And they're not really, they're trying to sustain life. But once the we get disconnected from the real life source, we're done. Some of us are on artificial life support in our relationship with Jesus. It's something that we've conjured up that we think that will keep us connected to God. And I want to let you know, it's not going to work. Eventually, the other things it says, and it's that to your knowledge, faith and purity and all these other different things. And then he says, godliness, brotherly kindness and love will be the elements of fruit that will make us believable and desirable, a desirable church body in the world. Let's look at those three things just for a moment. Godliness. Godliness, take it apart, God-likeness. I'm not talking about little G-O-D. I'm talking about big G-O-D. I'm talking about the one who will cause you in the midst of all the things you're going through, this as you always turn your heart toward him and say, you know, God knows what's best, and I'm putting my trust and confidence in him. And in addition to that, or it says, or brotherly kindness. You know what brotherly kindness is? Just being kind to folks. I want to say, y'all need to stop being so mean. Well, that's their problem. They need to deal with it. That's not how he says you add to this brotherly kindness. Now, I'm going to help some of you. The rest of you are not helpable. But it is so easy to see a person on the side of the road with, you know, need money or this other type of thing, to dismiss them and to marginalize them and saying, well, they need to get a job or they need this or this type of thing. And the Bible says brotherly kindness. I know you can't pull your car over for everything that happens, but allow the brotherly kindness to at least pray for them. Can you do that? Because that's brotherly kindness. Rather than the fact that, oh, this is so disgusting and there's these people there and they've got a dog too. I'm all hip as Jesus. We must patiently pursue a lifestyle of kindness that produces godliness, which means when we allow our attitude to reflect kindness, we will convey love to everyone we encounter. Are there some people that we shouldn't be loving toward? I don't think that's in the Bible. I don't think there's some people that we can just kind of push to the side and go, well, yeah, you just don't quite cut it with me. But you know, I heard this particular comedian one time. He says, you know, if you're ever from down south, anybody from down south? There's a phrase that they use a lot, and they'll say, oh, she, you know, her life's a mess, bless her heart. That baby's ugly, bless his heart. See, bless his heart wipes away every nasty thing you just said. I know what she thinks. She made that casserole. Bless her heart. I want to help you to get away from the... Bless your heart does not wipe away your attitude. It cleans the slate. Oh, yeah, you're going to get saved today. Here we go. The enemy will tempt us with short-sightedness of focusing on things that are temporary and not eternal. I know I've been short-sighted on some things, and thank God he's opened my eyes to a few things. Barrenness will overtake us when we become short-sighted and forgo the process of growth through trials and difficulties. We're all going to be tried. We're all going to have difficulties. When I say embrace them, I don't mean to say, oh, thank God I got a trial today. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Bring more. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. That's nonsense. But you know, the thing we need to do is don't take trials as indictments. Don't take trials as a fact. It's going to be this way all the time. The old folks had it right. I'm so glad troubles don't last always. They had a vision. But at least they could sing about it. You know, it's not going to be here all the time. And so we embrace it because it's going to cause growth in this. Well, the other thing, we must take our focus off our past sins and toward our future that we have in Jesus. The devil is a master at making you look back at things and say, well, you know, yeah, things are bad. It was better when I was out in the world. Where did that come from? I had more friends when I wasn't saved. Oh, yeah. The enemy is working at you. Or the friends that I had before I was saved, they were more loyal than the friends I have now. You are talking into the hands of the enemy. And what I'm trying to say here is the fruit that you'll produce from there is not good fruit, but it's something that you will put yourself in the barrel with everyone else, and that little bit of rottenness in you will affect everyone else around you. Ever bought a beautiful hallock of strawberries and find there's one underneath that is ruining the whole group? You may get the ones off the top, but if you don't get that rascal out of the bottom, everybody's gone. Well, praise God. We must stay connected to the vine to bear fruit that will remain. The short-sightedness, I believe, of the kingdom of God is there will be some people that will fall away from Christ. Newsflash. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord says, well, they shall be saved. But the Bible says there will be a falling away. You don't have to be a part of that. But I'll tell you why it happened. Because they did not stay connected to Jesus. But here's another way they stay connected, because we're connected as a vine, we stay connected to each other. Amen. They're on the vine, I'm on the vine. We stay connected. Jesus is the life source, but we stay connected, and the person across the vine from you needs to have your involvement as well. It's called encouragement. You know, when we assemble in this house from week to week, somebody's looking for you. You think, oh, I'm just kind of anonymous. Nobody knows I'm here. So, no, that lady that sits on the third, because you sit in the same places. Should we mark your territories? You sit pretty much in the same places. And so you kind of scan, well, she's not here today. How do you know? Because she's in the same place. Now, you want to mess a preacher up? Just switch. What? You can't even get it together and say, no, wait a minute, amen people over here, and they're over here today. I'm frustrated. To stay connected, we must discover God's will and purpose as a believer. Remember, you were a good sinner. Some of you have the sin thing down. You know where to go on Friday night, Saturday night? You know where your source was? For the unmentionables. And now you're a believer. You feel like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. How about praying? How about fellowshipping with another believer? Does that kind of strike you as a possibility? Because it's a part of the idea, if you're going to stay connected to Jesus, that's where the life comes from. That's where the, yeah, amen. Fruit will come forth as we make the choice to allow the life that is in Christ to flow through a divine connection with him via the Holy Spirit. I want to speak something to several people here today. You had a rough week last week. And it wouldn't have been as rough if you had listened to the Holy Spirit who told you to call somebody. Oh, I don't want to bother them. That was the devil. Oh, they don't really know who I am. And, you know, I just don't feel close enough to them yet. Uh-huh. The devil is a master at disconnecting people. He's a master at marginalizing people. He's a master at making you think that you are a lot more than you really are. But the Holy Spirit brings truth, righteousness, purity, holiness, and all those things, those elements that are important. But what about this? When there is something in our life that is not bearing fruit, what the Word of God says? Cuts it off. My wife gave this illustration years ago, and I love that woman. She's amazing. But don't go to her for counseling. Relationship counseling? No, don't go there. Because she hurt your feelings. Because someone said, your girl is crying, emptying her tissue box. Oh, I know he's no good, but I just can't let him go. And he's, you know, he's nice to me sometimes, and other times he's just mean. And you should say, she says, you know what? Cut him off. Then she gave this wonderful illustration. She said, if you had a hand or some part of your body part on you, would you like someone to take out a dull saw and just go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth? Or would you like the whack and get it over with? Now, that sounds mean, but it's just, you know, the whack. That's what you need. Some of y'all need to be whacked. Those habits that you have that are still messing with you, cut it off. Well, I'm gonna cut back. No, cut it off. I'm not going to do it as much. I'm going to cut my weed in half. Some of y'all laughing, but some of y'all hooked on it. I'm going to be honest. Remember Puff the Magic? Not Puff the Magic. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to try. But you need to stop. If you want to bear fruit. Embracing the pruning process is an act of faith and obedience. Our role is to be a productive branch. Now, here's something I think will be very important to you, is that sometimes the Lord, the Bible says this, something we think that is really good, God will cut it off. That's a great relationship. Have you ever seen someone prune roses before? We have a bunch of roses at our house. The people left behind, because if it was up to me, the place would be barren. I can kill anything. I don't care what it is. But we have some really nice roses there. But at the end of the season, we have a gentleman that comes and helps us with the yard. I shouldn't say helps the yard. He does the yard, and I pay him. That's it. Anyway, you're trying to lie about it. I pay him, he does the yard. It's a good exchange. I don't have a barren yard. He gets money to take care of his kids. Okay, that's good. All right, here's the deal. So we have these roses out there, but at the end of the season, he will come out and he will annihilate those roses. Boy, it looks like he'll never come back again. He ruined them. They're gone. They're down little stubs. I wish you could see those roses now. After they've recovered and they've come back and they're bigger and better and more full as far as that's concerned. The things that God wants to prune out of your life, you say, don't touch that. Let him do it. Because it'll get bigger, it's going to get better, it's going to get stronger, it's going to be more fragrant than it's ever been before. Because I want to let you know, God knows better than you do. Some things that you call good, God says, no. If you think that's good, let me wait till I get done with you. Well, with our connection to Christ, we can produce nothing that is life-sustaining. And if we lose our connection to Jesus, we lost our ability to be faithful. He says, anyone that doesn't bear fruit, you know what they're fit for? He says, the flames to be put in a pile and burned. Wow, that doesn't seem very helpful. How about this? Our desire should be to bring glory to the Father by producing much fruit. Let's go on to Jesus desires that we stay in constant state of fruitfulness. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This will help all of us. And it's just three verses, but in these three verses, it will help you to really understand what fruitfulness is. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And get this last part. And whatever he does shall prosper. What? That's Psalm 1. Three verses out of Psalm 1. And let me just kind of dissect it for you or just take it apart. It's real simple this way. We can walk in the blessing of constantly being fruitful if we do what Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3 says. Let me break it down. We can live in abundance of joy and being productive. We can walk in the favor and blessing and honoring of God. We can step, every step we make will be fruitful, and a step of obedience, it's at the command of the Word of God. But first of all, we must choose to eliminate things in our lives that will prevent us from being spiritually productive. What does that mean? That we must resist and ignore the counsel of worldly and ungodly men. The internet does not always tell the truth. Google does not know everything. But many of you will go to Google before you go to God. Did you hear what I said? Oh, I'll Google it. Oh, I know what it is. We'll Google it, this type of thing. I'm not talking about, you know, what's the best restaurant in town. And then you get there and, well, I'm leaving it alone. Anyway, but the point is, the spiritual thing that's been placed within us, the Holy Spirit of God, is the best resource that you have for leading you into all truth and righteousness. Do not rest on the counsel of ungodly people. Oh, man. We must never live our life in such a manner that it will prevent sinners from coming to the Lord by our bad behavior. One of the real tough things with people nowadays, especially with people, the millennials and those type of folks, they look at the church and say, oh, the church is such a mess as far as that's concerned. I wouldn't want to be a part of that particular thing. I mean, these people are this and that and the other as far as that's concerned. It says, well, if the Bible says, nor is, walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Question. Is the lifestyle that you live, the things that you're saying, the people that you hang out with, is that a testimony of God's goodness, or is it a hindrance to people ever coming to Jesus? You know, I never thought of that. Really? What the hell? How about this? Or people who sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm talking about negative people that badmouth other Christians. We must be careful about our response and criticism of those in charge, whether they be godly or ungodly. Every Everybody that has not criticized our president, raise your hand. Got you. Me too. But you know what Jesus said? Stop it. Amen. What? And you can add all the different words to him, and he's this and he's that and all other type of thing, but you know what? The Bible says obey your leaders and submit to them. Pray for them as far as that's concerned. If you prayed for them as much as you talked about him, the man could change. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I need to tell you something about this. And we said this and that and this other type of thing. Would you stop doing that? Because it's hindering people from coming to Jesus. And then another breath comes out. You know, but it's all in God's hand. What did you just say? If it's in God's hand, then what you acting all crazy for? You talk out both sides of your mouth at the same time. Not good. Our ability to be fruitful will soar when we totally embrace the Word of God as the final authority over our life. Come on, give me an amen right here. It's the final authority. It's not a suggestion. It's not a hint. It's not a clue. It is a final authority over what God wants to do in your life. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, if you have trouble with the word dissimulation, it means that you don't get to pick and choose who you love. I'm on this camp here. They haven't met my standards. Are you connected to the vine? Then your standards don't matter. It's Jesus' standards. And Jesus wants to love through you beyond what you thought was possible. I want to take you to the last part of this message because I'm not going to force the issue. We must be fruitful as a result of Jesus planting us. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. This, when I got to this particular scripture, I saw there was an aha moment like I've never had before. Okay. He also spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years... I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. I want you to pay close attention because this is going to wrap it up and hopefully make a lot of sense for us of the idea of what God has planted. And it's a parable, but parables tell some stories in ways that we can't really quite figure out. Well, Jesus used a parable of a fruit tree or a fig tree to help us understand the value of being fruitful. When I lived over in the southeast side, we lived at 1618 Southeast Clinton. I think that fig tree might still be there. I hate figs. Absolutely hate them. When figs get ripe and they hit the ground, it's just all over the place. Now that I've got my confession out, we can go forward. But here's something that I almost missed, but I was doing my study. And I discovered something, and I'm thinking, what? Behold, a man decided he's going to plant a fig tree in a vineyard. Did you get that part? He's putting a fig tree in the middle of a vineyard. Now, can you skip ahead to that little illustration I have? There it is. Okay. At the bottom, you'll see roses and such of this nature. And I'll tell you where this particular, at the top is a fig tree. It just happened that Sean and I were having a conversation. This fig tree is in Sean Smith's grandmother's yard. Do you know why the fig tree is in the middle of those roses? I know you don't, because I haven't told you yet. Because grandma wanted it there. And it's grandma's yard. She don't care there can be roses everywhere, and it's hard to get to the figs once the roses are growing up there. But grandma said, that fig tree going to stay right there where I planted it. You think, but here's your look, that don't make any kind of sense. And whose yard is it? I want to, first of all, come to all of us, myself included, in the things in life that we don't believe make any sense, and we forget who all things belong to. If the very first thing, if we're going to be effective and be fruitful, we have to learn how to not complain about the way things are. How come it's this way? How come I was playing over here? Why couldn't I have grown up in New York? Why couldn't I have been down in L.A.? I would have been successful. I've done this. Why? Because God put you in Portland, Oregon. Amen. Deal with it. I'd rather if I grew up down south where the churches are filled with people and they love God and this type of thing, and all these heathens run around there. You know what? God planted you here to deal with them. He put within you what's necessary to bring them to Jesus. You need to open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart, and start being where God puts you. Stop seeing all this negative stuff. God knows what he's doing. And the one says, well, you know, it's all in the hands of the Lord. No, it isn't. It's in your hands. He gave it to you. Well, there are things that God has specifically in your life that he wants you to produce a fruitful harvest. Now, the dialogue of this story should grab you, because here you have this vineyard and this fig tree, and for 3 years, nothing's happened. Can I ask you a question? I'm gonna. How productive has your life been for Jesus this last 3 years? Blessed quietness, holy quietness. Oh, let's not go for the last 3 years. How about the last 3 months? Oh, let me break it down for you. How about the last 3 days? Are you getting the picture? And I guarantee you, you can sit down and give me a litany of excuses as to why this didn't happen, that didn't happen, you didn't witness somebody do this. Well, you know, I'm just so busy in this type of thing. I'm just trying to do this, and my job, and my kids, and my this, and my that. Oh, really? So fruitfulness is dependent upon your situation and the way that you assess what your life is going through. Find it in the Bible for me. It isn't there. When we question the Lord's wisdom, we will stifle our ability to be fruitful. And that means this. Even when we feel out of place, we must not react according to our feelings, because we are right where we're supposed to be. I'm going to help these people over here. I'm going to get to you later. I know there are people who have complained about their jobs, neighborhood, whatever. And boy, as soon as I get some money, or as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to give me a different job or different neighborhood. Whatever it is that you're dissatisfied with. Because there's something underlying in us that our fruitfulness is contingent upon those things. And when that's all together, then I can really be fruitful for Jesus, and I'll be a happier person, and therefore I'll be telling about all the goodness of the Lord when everything's the way I want it to be. Is that ridiculous? But that's what we think. We're waiting for everything to kind of come into the way that we think it should be. You know, our bills are all going to be paid. We're going to be making the type of money that we think we deserve, and living in the place we think that we, and all this other type of stuff. And then I can really be happy, and I can share about the goodness of the Lord, because everything's just like I want it. Do you know something? That's crazy. God knows how much money you've got in your pocket, in your bank account. He knows what kind of car you drive. He knows where you live. And you know what? He's okay with it. And if he wants to bless you with something better, he'll bless you with something better. But you got to be okay with it first. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you right now are not okay with those situations. If there's one thing you need to get straight today, get okay with where you are, what you're doing right now, and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've given me up to this point. Because if you don't, you will never be fruitful. Looking over the fence. Somebody rolls up in a new car. Yeah, she don't sure don't deserve that. I look better behind the wheel of that. She don't even know how to drive it. Go ahead and laugh, because that's just how you are. You're silly. Get in your hoopty and be happy. Come on, get an amen in the house today. I didn't say you have to stay in the hoopty. I said get in your hoopty. If God wants you to have a Mercedes, I don't care, but be happy where you are right now. God's looking for fruit that we do not think we can produce. There are some people that you've talked yourself out of talking to. Oh, she'd never go for this. She's liberal and this type of thing, or, you know, she's in a same-sex relationship, or she's in this. And we have dismissed all kinds of people we'll never talk to. They'll never go this. She's liberal, she's this, blah, blah, blah. He's this, and blah, blah, blah. Do you know the Holy Spirit can speak through you that will bring life and truth to people if you will open your mouth when Jesus has filled it with, because you're connected to the vine and you can make a difference in someone's life? Jesus will perfect those things in our life that keeps us from being productive. Now remember in that place where you had this tree. He says, I'll give it 3 years. He says, give it one more year. And there's three things that happen to this particular tree before it's cut down. One is implied is the fact, I believe, the greatest thing that happens that produces life in us is the watering of the word. Would you agree with that? Amen. So even though it doesn't say that, I believe he's saying water it. Immerse it in the word of God and give it what it needs to produce life. But the second thing, you can make it the first. Maybe you would do the second thing first thing. It doesn't matter. It says, break up all the fallow ground or the hard ground around it so the water can take effect. Do you realize some of us cannot be productive because we're hard-hearted? Our spirit's been hardened against adversity. And so we can't be productive. But here's one part. I don't think you're going to like this, but the Bible says it. Fertilize it. Fertilizer stinks. And God's going to put you through some stinky stuff to get you straightened out so you can be who he wants you to be. My life stinks. This is no good. This isn't fair. It ain't going to be fair. God is going to test you in this thing because you know what? Without that stinky stuff, you will never produce what God wants you to produce. Paul put it this way, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Folks, come on up here. I'm going to pull the plug on this real quick. Here's the deal. If you want to be productive, and I know every person in here wants to be productive and bear much fruit, take those three things: water, break up the fallow ground, and be ready for the stinky stuff. What's that going to take? It's going to take a move of the Spirit of God in your obedience to say, God, I don't know why I've complained, I don't know why I've allowed myself to get to this particular place, but I will trust you to do those things that need to be done inside of me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do. We're going to reprise that song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. And as we do with every head bowed and every eye closed, Holy Spirit's going to speak something to you, and it may surprise some of you where he illuminates to you and shows you on the screen of your heart those things that are hindering you from being fruitful. If it's an attitude, sometimes that's pretty easy to take care of, but maybe it's one that's been embedded for a long time. It's been, some of you are incarcerated by years of bitterness. Maybe you went through a divorce that you felt like you were treated unfairly. Maybe your parents were never for you like they should have been, and you felt like you were an outcast. Or maybe at this particular point in life, you just feel like just life has been unfair to you. If you're going to be fruitful, you've got to let go of that. There's another part of this that I think is more crucial than anything else. Is it right now, if you say, well, you know, my life stinks. And I would say to you, you know what? Congratulations. Because God is still working in the midst of all the things that you think that are going to overcome you that you just don't like. If you just embrace Him in ways you've never embraced Him before, things will change. I'm going to pray at the end of my prayer. I'll ask for those people that will say, you know, Pastor, today I really need to just surrender to Jesus. Maybe for the first time, maybe as a believer saying, you know, I need to come to the altar today and get some things straight. I want everybody to stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song. And if you feel that impulse of the Spirit to come forward, don't wait for your friend to come. You come, because we'll have people here to pray with you. Start with the first one. If you need to step out now. If you need salvation, step out now.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.